yourself into a show. That's awesome music there, wouldn't you agree?
I doubt it.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Welcome to the Pass Rugby News podcast show here. Make sure to subscribe, please. Go to iTunes Store. You can search the Pass Rugby News.
Or please follow us, as well as following us is what I meant, on Instagram, Pass Rugby News, Twitter, Pass Rugby News. Tweet us, Instagram us, retweet, all of the above.
We want you, and we're getting up there, so send your friends and let's do this. But first, let's look at this. We got a good show coming right now. We're going to review our week two RBS Six Nations and give a preview, I think, on what's going to happen for week three, right?
That's right. Well, when he means we, he means I will be giving you a accurate review, and he will just be tagging along.
We'll talk about that later. Luckily, I got 10 minutes to, you know, suffer through it. But let's go to the game that mattered to me most in review, Scotland-Wales, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it was an interesting game, to be quite honest. It was a very telltale of what Wales is actually doing.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that one. I actually thought Wales played pretty sloppy, but then again, of course, they come out with the win, so that kind of hurts my...
Once again, they came out with the win because Scotland gave it to their opponent.
They did, and just...
I thought they took my advice. Go back to fundamentals, learn about penalties.
Well, here, let's start at the front. Can I ask you this question? Everyone knows Ewan Murray, prop for Scotland. He's religious, so he doesn't play on Sundays. What are your thoughts on that?
Well,
I make it... It's interesting to me.
I mean, it's interesting. I guess it's because we already know it. I feel like it's. I'm not going to waste my time talking about it. It's a decision. His team completely supports it, obviously. And at least they're a unified front on that. And thankfully, it's not like Scotland doesn't have someone to replace him.
No, to me, it was just more, it's pretty amazing to see at a professional level, someone standing up for their beliefs and saying, hey, no, but he's still obviously in the selection.
Well, he's in the selection because he's a quality player, but there's other quality players. So ultimately, he's making the choice, and he made it. So let's get back to the game.
That's true. John Lamont came in this week for Tommy Seymour. So for me, this was the best looking back line I think Scotland has produced in a very long time. You had Hogg, Lamont, Bennett, Dunbar, Visser, Russell, Laidlaw. I think that's the best back line in the tournament. Unfortunately, they have no clue how to get the ball out to them in cycle. But yeah, let's start. For me, again, everyone swept this under the radar. Blair Cohen, the first penalty again, just like in week one, and points giveaway. Blair, you got to relax, get past 10 minutes, and then start making your penalties.
But how about no penalties? No, I'm over the penalties, because if they've learned anything the last 2 weeks, is that they've lost games based on penalties and percentage of penalties.
And Lee Halfpenny is on. We know that. The guy has a boot, and...
Honestly, this Six Nations, I have to say, was interesting. That I think everybody has a boot.
Yeah, which
is
good.
It's not like where it's only one team has this amazing, you know, boot. All of them do.
So that goes to show, then, that you have to be extra careful.
You can't concede penalties. Right? You just can't do it.
Stop being sloppy. That's first try. It was really good by Scotland. It was good turnover. They stole it from Wales immediately. Richie Gray looked amazing on his offload to Stuart Hogg. And like you said, Hogg had some wheels.
It was just beautiful.
He is...
Great run. He picked the right direction. He knew when to cut in, and it just looked good.
Outside of Mike Brown, I think he's probably the best attacking fullback in the tournament. Then again, I'm sure I'll get flack for that. Halftime score, though, you know, it was 15-10.
Okay, so this is my thing. Scotland know that they can do great tackles, but yet they kill me when they can't make a tackle when it's most important.
Yeah, well, our tackles for the game were Scotland at 118, Wales at 115, so we're pretty right on
but
in
they
stats,
were,
but it's when it counts.
They were 13-16, right? Which was right there. They still had hope.
And then you give a penalty.
And you give a penalty, now making it 6.
Yeah.
So then we let them and we make a missed tackle, and then it's 26-16. And now we've lost all hope.
That was in the 63rd minute by Jonathan Davies, who absolutely ran over his defenders. And that was sad to see because they were tackling well. But, yeah, like you said, you got to do it when it counts the most. Fast forward now to the 73rd minute when you had Sam Hidalgo offload to Dunbar, and they call a back forward pass on Sam. You got to think if that would have been more crisp or if that would have been given in the 73rd, then you start pulling closer. Maybe Scotland has a chance then, but as it is, they waited until the last minute to score. And you ran out of time, right?
Right. Well, the other thing I found interesting is, though, that on errors, Wales had 41 errors to Scotland's 31.
Ooh.
So
Great job, Scotland.
If Wales had 41 errors, Why was Scotland not taking advantage of them?
Yeah, great question. And I'll actually point out that Scotland had the least amount of errors out of all the teams in round two.
Which is why, at the half, they were doing so well. Yeah. Now, the question that I didn't see that I can't find the stat, which, you know, us Americans love stats, is how many errors were in the first half and how many in the second half? Because that would be so telling
Accenture,
to the score.
Accenture methodology stats, if we could get that one in there for us, that would be a really helpful breakdown for us. But you probably won't hear us. That's okay, though. Yeah, and what I found upsetting is it looked like at the end they wanted to, real quick, they took their conversion. They thought they had time. Scotland coaches were mad. They blew the whistle. But what everyone fails to see is Jim Hamilton, brother, you got to keep your cool, man, and not get into a little fight. That's those extra seconds that you can have that all you need is the kick restart, and hopefully you can win it in the air and go and score, right? So, to me, it was a little interesting. But
what about this whole concept of a dangerous play?
Yeah, let's talk about the Finn Russell. You know, it was deemed by the disciplinary committee is it was reckless not deliberate.
But which I still think, and we can't use that language because we got postponed because of last week.
Yeah,
sorry.
So we're sorry about that. It took an extra week because we uploaded it as clean and we used the word ASS. We're not going to use those words anymore because we're all about clean.
Right. Yeah. That's okay. Well, one
you
of us
say
is.
It was BS.
Well, point being, I don't think that this should have been disciplinary at all.
Yeah, it was crazy. It went in as a 5 week and got knocked down to 2 weeks. Because of his remorse and clean record.
But, and actually, lucky for Scotland, it was only 2 weeks, not two games.
Yeah, because that could have been bad. So he only misses Italy, which I say only, but they're going to be the game of the tournament
for both of them.
Sadly. I just don't, for me, when you watch the replay, it didn't look that reckless. He turned away from it. Maybe if he had sidestepped and backed away.
Or ran into it. You know, this was, I think, he was really genuinely going for the ball.
And then he pulled away last second, you could tell, by turning his back in Bigger.
But you can only do so much when you're in motion.
But can you not give credit to Bigger for kind of going over him? Bigger should have been able to sidestep or seen it coming. I just think that's one of those things that
he
the ends justify the means.
I just feel like Wales sold it.
Oh,
he sold it well.
Completely.
And it worked out. Hopefully, Scotland won't be dying over that, so let's just hope that that works out that way.
I thought it was a simple yellow, but to go disciplinary and take...
Well, we went disciplinary, and clearly some of the disciplinary board realized that it wasn't intentional.
But Scotland is appealing it, so let's hope it turns around. If not, the only beautiful thing is it's not against a big team, even though you need to beat Italy. It's not against that one. But their percentage was 48% to Scotland, 52% to Wales in the first half, and then it flipped, it got worse. Scotland 47, Wales 53. Passes at 107 and 132 for Wales. Scotland had the 107. And then, like you said, errors. Pretty statistic game. Pretty even for the most part.
That is what it is.
Yeah.
It was actually a very good game. This was my surprising game. I was impressed with Scotland.
To me, it was the best match.
It's like
of all
I get impressed with Scotland, and then they just disappoint me because they can't just clinch it or get it together.
Yeah, those moment brilliance, Stuart Hogg, and just then we just concede errors and errors and errors, and then penalties and penalties and penalties.
All right, let's go on to England, Italy.
Yeah, let's go on to that one. Kind of the surprising one. Actually, it had been 254 minutes since Italy had scored a try, and lo and behold, Parisi fakes out Mike Brown, goes over, and wow, we're looking at 5-0, and this is, everyone's freaking out that Italy may actually have something, and I think they do.
They have moments, but very small. They are getting smarter on things.
But it was only 18-5 at the half, and it was 8-5.
Right, but I don't attribute it to Italy playing phenomenal. I attribute to England slacking off is what I attribute it to.
Well, completely.
It's not like all of a sudden we saw this phenomenal Italy team. No, we saw a pretty like lackluster a bit of England. It's not so much the other way around.
Yeah, that's true. And Stuart Lancaster made a couple comments at the end that he was unimpressed with his side on this one and that they needed to do better. And of course, everyone
which is ironic because he was so impressed that he got to have the same lineup, whereas Italy had a changeup.
But what I'm saying is when people look at it 47-17, like, oh, why is he saying that? Who cares? But when you look at the stats and you actually watch the highlights and you watch the game itself.
Should have been bigger.
Oh, by far. And the differential in the points tab right now, you're only +5 over Ireland in the tiebreaker. This is why those games, you should rack them up to 60 if you can, right?
So good job, Italy.
Yeah, the second try by Italy was good, right?
Yes, it was.
I thought Luca Morisi, I thought that kid can shake people off and run, and he's not that big size, but he definitely has his moves. And I was pretty blown away to see that happen. Let's talk about your try, though, with Mr. Youngs.
Oh, Youngs, looking good. I mean, not one, but two.
That was pretty phenomenal.
What was great was just tap. Also, yeah, that's a real quick tap.
Everyone else is looking around silly, and that goes to the amateur players that are listening to this, that play the game to the ref, don't play it to the emotions
exactly.
of your players.
And also, kudos to that ref. You actually know what you're supposed to do, because sometimes refs piss me off because they make everyone known that he's about to take a quick tap.
True.
What is the point of awarding it if they actually don't get the use of it?
And Brad, everyone, every team, you should pay attention to the ref. When it's a full hand extended, it's game on regardless if you're retreating or not. So, you know, Italy unfortunately slept there, but it looked like a lot of England teammates were sleeping too. And Ben Young just figured, hey, look, I'll go for the glory and I'm right there. And I'm small, no one's
going to care. Was brilliant.
But let's talk, the man of the match for everyone, we can probably agree with, Jonathan Joseph.
Oh, correct.
Yeah, beast mode hashtag is now his.
Winning.
Yeah, definitely winning because... Dan Norton, if you're listening to this, this is your one shout-out. He runs like Dan Norton in sevens, but he's like four times his size, so he's able to apply that hashtag.
Well, I think what was great was, too, is that he has the ability to change direction quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Which doesn't always happen, you know.
But he can run through you if he needs to, and we saw that, too.
That's
so he complements both worlds. And as a defender, I would be nervous of Jonathan Joseph.
And, of course, I always have to give a little credit, so I'll give him half man of the match to Ford.
Yeah, by far. Yeah, that offload on the second one was definitely. That's what, and we get so tied up in who scores it in rugby. But honestly, Jonathan Joseph's second try was really.
An offload.
Yeah, George Ford, that was a great offload. You sold it to the defense. So, yeah, kudos.
He's not only playing well, he's looking good.
Can we, instead of hashtagging Jonathan Joseph as hashtag beast mode, can we just call him JJ from now on?
No.
Okay, because I really want to give names to people. But, yeah, he's still beast mode. Nick Easter got back in and scored
I know.
Congrats.
Well, that try was congrats to England's Maul.
Yeah.
I will give him that.
Yeah.
That was a great Maul.
True.
I feel like that's a good Maul to show.
True.
As they were trying to break down
Nick
the Maul,
Easter
it worked out.
Because he's over 30.
Hey,
he's
he
really
is England's oldest try scorer.
That's congratulations, Nick Easter. And we sat in your seat and remember that. Tom Croft got on.
I know.
I was really happy to see that. Overall, the game got better in the second half, but what was a
okay,
weird
so this is my
was.
Thing, though. Before we go into... I feel like every try that's ever recorded and shown should be on slow mode.
Oh, by far. Yeah.
Because
totally
if you,
totally
everyone,
agree.
I recommend you go on and look at these tries and go on slow mo, and you will have better appreciation for
because
the technique in rugby.
Because last try, he manhandled Johnny May, and you don't get that from present speed. But when they slow it down, you see how much he pushed Jonathan May around.
And just getting to see the
that's
glory
cool.
of when they touch down that ball, I mean, that, you just can't get it on regular.
No,
so,
you can't. So,
recommendation,
slow-mo.
Slow-mo, every try.
Accenture, pass that on to the tournament directors. We need that. It was a weird stat for me is that in the second half possession, England had 42%. Italy had 58%.
Right.
But they still ran them over. And that just goes to show that just because you have possession doesn't always mean you're going to execute with
well, England has great
defense. So,
depends,
what that stat says to me is Italy clearly has a problem executing. Passes were 155 to England, 154 to Italy.
And then it keeps going, you know, off that stat is that Italy won 36 balls in England's 22 compared to England's 29. That just shows me that Italy cannot convert it.
And they just stay so far in their back all the time and they can't get out. Tackles were surprising in this one, and I thought I had written it incorrectly, but tackles were 164 to England, 113 to Italy.
And when you convert it to percentage, they were both 86% complete in tackles. That means equally completing
so Italy,
tackles.
You're running with the ball quite a bit. You're forcing England to tackle you more, but you just can't do anything with it. And that's a sad one to me. But, you know, I think Italy got better. And I think, I'm going to be honest
right, but
with you,
why
I think
we
Scotland and Italy is going to be a tough
why
match.
Do we applaud mediocrity?
No,
I just don't. Better. No. How about you win? And then I will say you got better. Yep. You only get better when you're winning. Okay? There was improvement is what I'll call
true.
It. But not better.
Shout out to Mike Brown. That was a really hard hit he took to the face on that one. And, you know,
well, both.
He might be out for a week or two with concussion-like symptoms. And I'm glad to see they took it serious and wheeled him off because even when they brought him back on to parade him in the 50th minute, whatever, the fans, he looked
Well, he came back out, so.
He looked like me when I wake up.
All
he
right.
Did not know where he was going.
Let's go Ireland, France.
Yeah, the one match that should have been, like, the big seller of all the three actually turned into quite a dud for me.
For you.
I don't think it was a dud. Watching it. But then again, it goes back to your point of penalties being conceded, that most of the penalties that Ireland were able to convert off
Which, welcome back, Sexton. You looked great.
Wow, yeah, we'll talk about him. He is just phenomenal.
He's had a great showing.
Most of the penalties conceded were inside of the 22, so I don't know when professionals in these big tournaments are going to realize, like you said, everyone has a boot, and you can't make sloppy mistakes. If you're going to make them in their territory, so it's
well,
a
every the last 2 weeks we've seen, any time those penalties have been conceded, the kicker has definitely made them pay.
Yeah.
Lopez, now Sexton. Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't end. You set it up for them, they're going to take it.
So then what if you start getting in the range of 48 meters for a opposite kicker? You probably need to start tightening up your ruck.
Well, let's be smart. They finally got smart in it. Why would you then kill your forwards to just keep rucking through, through, when you can have your kicker clearly make that and score points?
Well, I agree.
This is not a hard decision.
But it's up to the defense to make those silly mistakes. So what I'm saying is then if you're a defense, ease up on how you go into things. Don't go in so reckless all the time. But, hey, welcome to the game. For me, I thought it was a boring first half, but then again, it was a quality first half, and Sexton executed off of the penalties, right?
Right.
I'm pretty happy with that. The big hit that I saw that kind of shook, I was surprised to see Sexton come back on, was Sexton against Matthew Baskerville.
I know.
And normally Baskerville just demolishes guys, but they both look
well, you know, Sexton has been out for like 3 months over, right? So it makes sense that
he's
they would take.
Too. And just, it was interesting to see Baskerville get shaken up, because he normally does not get shaken up the freight train, but.
If he would have just threw in that shoulder, maybe this wouldn't have happened.
For me in the second half, it was a little late on everything. I thought Morgan Parra coming on as scrum half, he always incites France to kind of get back in it. I don't know why they don't start with him or put him in sooner. Honestly, France had a chance at the end. If they would have had two more minutes, they may have taken it on Ireland.
Really? I don't know, because clearly in the second half, they had 68 more
possession.
So possession,
yeah,
so it doesn't make sense.
Was first half, 65% to Ireland, 35% to France, and then in the second half, it was 32% to Ireland, 68% to France. So you reversed roles, but you couldn't score.
Right, that's my point.
That's
and clearly when it was in the first half, Ireland was able to score.
Yep.
So that just shows to me that Ireland is the better team. You have 68% percent. Possession, and you don't convert it.
Yeah, errors were, 42 to Ireland, 47 to France, tackles
on top of that, this is the worst part. So France here wins 95 balls in open play and cannot convert them. Ireland won 76, sorry.
That's,
and yet they were able to.
That's noticeable, yeah.
So that's a drastic change. My point being, so they had more possession, they won more open balls, but they couldn't convert. So when I say that I don't think France is the better team, these are the reasons
why. By far,
why.
I've called that. I think you either get a good France team or you don't. And against Scotland, they squeaked by. In this one, they did the same thing. But
so let's talk about the big play.
Yeah, Pascal Pape, man, 10-week ban. But it actually was recommended as a 15-week.
I'm going to have to agree. I think it was... I mean, it's clear that it was blatant.
Okay, well, listen, so the disciplinary committee decided that the offense should be categorized at the top end of world rugby scale of seriousness and set an entry point of 15-week suspension. He got 5 weeks deducted because of remorse and because he apologized to Jamie Heaslip, which accepted it. And for those that didn't watch it, Pascal Pape came into a mall, per se.
Unnecessary. It wasn't one of those situations.
And led with his knee. And
completely
hit
led with
the lower
his
back.
Knee.
Heaslip's going to be out maybe for a match or two with damage to three vertebrae.
Right. And this isn't like three matches doesn't matter. These matches matter.
Completely. So, but 10-week, I mean, that's not reckless. That's deliberate. I'm going to take the devil's advocate on this one. To me, when I watched it, I didn't see anything. And I just saw
then why did he apologize?
Because he got 10 weeks. I mean, it's a knee. Everyone who's played, it happens.
Right.
I don't see the deliberateness.
It happens in certain situations, yes. But when you watch that play, he didn't have to go into that. at that point, if you see where the ball is, the ball was already going to, the play was already going to not per se end, because it doesn't end.
I sympathize because I'm a big man and I lead with my knees sometimes too. And I, for me,
right, but these are professionals.
See the deliberateness in his face.
I'm sorry, these are professionals. Your King's career does not count as a professional.
Okay, well, don't you dare ever talk about my King's career like that ever again. So, hashtag King's College London.
You're lucky I even, I give him a plug because I like them, but let's keep going.
13, but who cares?
Point being to me is that this is not a professional per se foul. This is not a professional per se. He knew. I know. I disagree. Clearly, that everyone else agrees with me because he got 10 weeks.
Well, you and the disciplinary committee.
No, but what I do want to mark is why isn't the ref being called on this? He called it a yellow. Clearly, they're saying that this should be at the highest point.
Yeah, and then afterwards, when they did the review TMO in the stadium and the ref gave him the red card retroactively, but the argument is then if it's clear evidence and you saw it on the big screen and then you had to do that, why didn't you do it in the first place?
Right.
So I feel like it is deliberate, right? So that then goes to me to say that there's a little weight that to him in the moment it didn't look deliberate.
Yeah, right? Once again, they don't always catch everything. They're always in the wrong place at the wrong time.
You know, he's a good player, big lock. That's a pretty big lock.
I'm not disagreeing that he's a great player. Which is why I hold him to a different standard.
Outside of that incident and Sexton's boot, I thought it was an extremely boring match, and I think it's great that Ireland stays in the driver's seat, but they're squeaking by, honestly.
You call it squeaking by, I call it winning.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. They kicked a lot more, so, you know, 26 possession kicks to 11, so, I mean, they were clearly the better team, and I'll give you that.
All right, well, let's go to my favorite part.
Don't do it.
Let it go. Let it go.
It's official. You really should. Because clearly, I am killing it.
Oh, Daddy Yankee. We're at 6-2 to Team Raquel, to Team Vince. I have the 2. She has the 6. I know most people.
I have the 6. That means I'm winning. It means I've clearly.
Yeah, every week has been 3-1, and I don't understand where I'm going wrong in this. Like, all my stats in my brain just thinks I'm a rock star, but clearly I'm not, and I need to let it go. Let's try this week 3 now. Let's preview. So first, Scotland, Italy, at home in Murrayfield.
Wait for it. I am saying Scotland.
I thought you were going to go for Italy and give me the point. But then again, negative. Italy probably tranches them. But yeah, I'm going to go with Scotland, and I'm going to say this week, it's going to be a romp on Scotland. They're going to get their stuff together, and it's going to be by at least 3 tries they win.
I say...
God, that's ambitious, but I'm going to say it.
I say 10 points.
10 points, okay. And I will say Team Raquel's been pretty close to calling the exact score. Almost a little scary, but we've gone with it anyways.
If you could only see my face right now, I am gloating.
It is beautiful,
joy.
But it also makes me angry because of how gloating you are.
Let's go next.
France, Wales, and Paris. God, this one, you know, France hasn't been playing well. They've been sneaking by to me, and then they lose like that.
Well, they have one good half.
Wales the same thing, too. I'm not going to credit Wales to a massive win in Murrayfield over Scotland.
No, not at all, which is what makes this one harder for me to call.
Well, I'll go first then and just say it. I think France is going to stun people and beat Wales by no more than 5 points.
All right. I go Wales by a penalty.
You just go opposite of me and you end up winning. That's your strategy. And I
by a penalty. Look that I said it. Okay. Wales by a penalty.
Okay. That's fine. And I'm going to say France by 5.
Okay.
So there's our decider. But now I'm going to let you start first this next one and then I'll say
this is the hard one for me. My heart wants to go somewhere, but I just feel like.
Problem is they're playing the Aviva.
Yeah, so and not only this is the decider. This is the decider. To me,
right
this
now?
Decides Six Nations.
Unless France can pull off a win over Wales, then there's
once
still
again,
contention.
I'm going back to this decides Six Nations.
Yeah. But this needs to be a big decider, though. Because you're only plus 5 in the differential for England over Ireland in the tie difference.
Well, here's one to go back to that's a game. If you're telling me that France, you still think is contention, if they win, right, they can't just win by a little bit because the point differential is still trying
to
catch up to you.
They have to womp.
And I don't find them womping.
They have to womp
I don't see them womping Wales.
Yeah, true.
So, which
okay,
is
so
why
well,
I say. I don't
think
they're in contention.
Then who's going to win this game, then, if you
Aviva? First of all, I don't think it's going to be a massive win by either.
No. Because England is playing well, but they still have moments of lacklusterness.
Right. So, which is why. I'm sorry, England. I'm going to have to say Ireland's going to win
really?
This one.
Really? Oh, my God. That's awesome.
It's hard. It's hard.
Much, because that's crazy.
I try.
Wow.
I try.
That's funny. I'm going to go with Team England because I have to on this one, but it's going to be by a penalty. By three. That's all. So, yeah, God, now we got two deciders, so I can pick up points this week
everything goes well. And I'm so sad because I love England, but I just feel the way I've seen the plane and in the lack that each of them have, mm-hmm. I think this game... Their errors on both teams in the last 2 weeks have shown that Ireland.
Sexton's
is,
boot. I'm telling
I
you,
feel like Ireland is going to play on England's weaknesses. I mean, even Italy played on them. Look at that. He read the play. Yeah. He read the hole. They have some holes.
They do. Here, a big thing too for England on this one. Are you going to keep starting George Ford, or are you going to give Danny Cipriani a chance that he's been wanting again? He's playing well. What do you do? And I would think you'd be using the Six Nations as a warm-up as well for your World Cup to really pick your team for it then, right? So
I
do
just
you give
think,
him a chance now during a big game and let him prove himself again?
I mean, just so we know, I think that the next few weeks are going to be big games for Six Nations. But I just think that...
Who gets to start, Ford or Cipriani?
Ford.
Okay. Yeah, the reason I like that is Cipriani was in the time of Wilkinson, so he was behind him, where you have... Ford and even Farrell before that, they look up to Johnny Wilkinson. And Johnny Wilkinson is the best 10 the game has ever seen. And if you disagree with me, you're a moron.
Agreed.
Basically put. But do you know what I mean? So now there's this homage look up where Cipriani, you know, he used his time, he abused it a little bit, he even admitted that he was a little selfish. Yeah, I just think there's a battle for the 10 spot going to do you give
Well, I'd rather
now?
There be a battle than not
oh,
have
completely.
One. So that's a bonus for
well,
them.
You think,
that's not even an argument
Ford
for
me. Ford is the backup to Farrell. So now you got three potential 10s. This is a good thing. But yeah, that's probably going to be the game of the week. Well,
and there's not always a good 10.
That's going to be the tournament decider for if someone like France or Wales can get in. Well, because if Wales beats France down there.
This is my thing,
England
though.
Loses,
so I feel you know, the strengths that Ireland is going to have to play and make sure that they don't allow England is. Some of the wheels. England has wheels.
All by four.
And so
Morrell,
if they allow them
Joseph.
To, then they will allow that to happen.
Yeah. No, I
now,
feel that
those
one.
Are going to be clinchers. So I just feel that that's where we're at. I think it's going to be a great week this week. Round three is going to be the best week for me so far. I mean, regardless how it ends up, I am still winning.
Well,
hashtag
yes,
winning.
But after this round, hopefully it goes to 7-4 and I close the gap and Team Vince continues on towards a dominant finish to the tournament. We'll see if it does, but we want you to stay tuned because we've got some big interviews lined up.
Not just that, we are going to have a special podcast just on USA 7s in Las Vegas. We had a
great
time there.
We had interviews from Kyle Brown, James Rodwell, Colin Shaw, all the big names, and Dan Lyle. It was a great time, and we were able to interact
tons of rugby, tons of 7s. I mean, although my heart goes to 15s, I will say this was a great week. Obviously, I'm an Eagles fan, go USA, and this was a great showing for them, and it is telling of the Olympics. I mean, we have some great rugby coming up. We have the Olympics. We have the World Cup. I mean, we cannot complain.
As much as people knock Brazil, they play fantastic rugby if they could just get it together for all of it.
Okay, we're not going to get into that. No. We're going to save that for our podcast. He always goes on trails.
But what I'm
going to say a little tangent.
It was a good time to talk about sevens rugby in general, not just in specific USA sevens. We got to talk to players
about
everything.
No, we did.
Everything.
I mean, there was just great. It was a great international tournament.
Yeah.
I just love it when
he
comes here.
Converted to the religion of Kyle Brown after my interviews with him. Because after I was done, I felt zenned out and like, wow.
Let's just say we are going to have some great interviews for you and a great podcast. So we're going to make a
separate
one
just
for that.
Subscribe to the iTunes store. Like Raquel said, go to Twitter, go to Instagram.
Don't forget, we're The Past Rugby on iTunes.
Yes, The Past Rugby News on the iTunes store. You can just search us there. You'll see them. And then the Twitter and Instagram. And see us on Facebook. We got loads of content, video up, new things. You know, that's how we give you guys the stuff.
Past Rugby News. Don't forget, Past Rugby News. Pass it on to your friends.
Definitely.
And on that note, we are going to say goodbye.
You get the good music now. Enjoy your week. We'll see
Only
you guys
this
next week.